The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
Yeah, Hammer, I'm glad police in Lawrence made an arrest in that triple murder case. 24-year-old suspect involved in a triple homicide in Lawrence in an apartment complex last Friday. And just made me even, you know, us talking matter-of-factly about something like this. It's just something wrong. What is going on? And the victims, two of them were 19, one was 27, just a complete waste. And there's no motive. I don't have a motive. I don't know if these people knew each other. I don't know if it was random. I couldn't imagine it being random. There's any number of places your mind could go with something like this. But a triple homicide in Lawrence, and the suspect has been arrested.
It does not appear to be random, as if you remember last Friday, police said there was no threat to the community, even though they had not brought the suspect in yet.
Really?
Which is kind of fancy talk for this seems like it was a targeted attack. But 24-year-old Malik Shaw was the person brought in, and he's facing three counts of murder and an unrelated warrant for his arrest.
I would say, this is just me, that a guy that just committed triple murder walking around on the streets is a threat to the community. I would probably, that's easy for me to make that assessment. I understand what the police were getting at.
Right.
This wasn't just some random serial killer that's on the loose. But at the same time, a guy that makes those kinds of decisions, any person that can pull the trigger multiple times and kill three people, I don't care what the circumstances were, that's a threat to the community. And kudos to the Lawrence police for making an arrest in that.
And you kind of hinted at this earlier, Nige. I'm wondering, how many people are hearing about this story for the first time?
Yeah, it happens so often.
Right. It almost, we treat this almost like, oh, well, there's another triple murder in Indy. What else is coming up? What did the fever draft Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even talking about triple homicide necessarily. There's shootings and killings every day in parts of this city. And a lot of them we don't even hear about. A lot of them there's no follow-up. A lot of them go unsolved. I would love to see the stats, and I'm sure we could find them, on unsolved homicides in 2023.
This incident happened Friday night around 7:15 p.m. near 42nd Street and Post Road, kind of a hot zone, hot area for police activity there. Three people killed, one person now in custody. Again, 24-year-old Malik Shaw facing three counts of murder and also an unrelated warrant for his arrest. So another day, Nige, another bizarre turn in the Delphi trial, the Delphi murders. Richard Allen's attorneys, again, Richard Allen is the man that's being held charged with killing Abby and Libby in Delphi a number of years ago. His attorneys now claim that they were lied to by the police and they were never read Miranda rights during an interrogation.
Wait, so the Delphi murder suspect was lied to by the police and never read the, you have the right to remain silent, you have the right to an attorney, that kind of thing?
Right.
Miranda rights?
And they're asking the court to block jurors from hearing recorded police interrogation. And they claim that Richard Allen's civil rights were violated. Now, listen, it doesn't matter how heinous of a person you are. There are certain rights that go along with being taken into custody. The Miranda rights. We've all heard them a million times, whether it's from movies, TV shows, whatever. You've got the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I always, like in the movies, they always made it seem like, though, if you forget to read him your Miranda rights and you have to let him go and the case is closed and that's it, no matter what, which I don't think that's the way it works.
In the motion to suppress filed yesterday in Carroll County Court, the attorneys representing Richard Allen argued that their client was never read his Miranda rights before being questioned, and they also claim that Indiana State Police officials lied to Richard Allen during the interview.
I don't suppose they say what the lie is. does it?
It's in the paperwork. They're talking about how they're going to find a way to bring him to justice. Again, this is just a one-sided perspective at this point.
Why are they just now bringing this up? That's another question you should be asking yourself. I mean, you would have thought the Miranda rights thing, that's something they should have known from the beginning.
Right. And there's so much going on, it's hard to keep track. You know, just last week, we were talking about how Richard Allen confessed to these things in jail, but now he wants to take that back because he said he was being forced to confess. He claims that he shot these girls and sexually assaulted them, but the autopsy says completely the opposite.
Yeah.
The girls were not shot. They were stabbed, and the autopsy showed no sexual assault took place. Again, this trial starts less than a month from now, May 13th.
It seems like there's some work to do with the judge and making different decisions and contempt accusations and charges on the lawyer's behalf. Are you confident on a May 13th start date for this Delphi murder trial?
I'm confident on that start date. What I'm not confident on is that this is going to be a transparent thing that everybody can say the justice system has done its part. If this judge wavers and does not allow cameras in the courtroom, or at least media members to record it themselves, live tweet it from the courtroom, I've got a problem with that because there's a lot of questions about this. Now, I'm not somebody that's big into the conspiracy theories that Richard Allen did this or that, and it might be somebody else. I have no idea. I just want the justice system to run its course. I don't want there to be any sort of nickel and dime thing that sways this trial. I want full transparency. And it sounded like, at least according to the reporting of our Donnie Burgess, who's covering this for the WIBC newsroom, sounds like the judge is kind of wavering on the side of no cameras and not very much media. Now, for some of you, you might think that's a good idea, but I want full transparency here because there's a lot of stuff going on here. Big night last night for not only the Indiana Fever, but the city of Indianapolis. Caitlin Clark officially drafted by the Indiana Fever.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
And they had a watch party at the Fieldhouse, man, and it looked like it was packed and loud and people were fired.
There's
up.
Already people filling up the Fieldhouse, and she's not even there.
Right.
What did you just have crapped a brick if they would have said the number one pick, Angel Reese, LSU? But you were talking back in the office. We need like some, what do you call it?
She needs a rival.
She needs a rival.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark needs a rival. Could it be, I mean, where did Angel Reese get drafted?
Chicago.
Oh!
So it's not that far away. You know, they'll play the Fever a lot. It's a short little trip for both fan bases. If Angel Reese is ready to be the Darth Vader in this rivalry here, right? The bad guy, then this may be what the WNBA needs. Because Caitlin Clark's going to be fine. Her brand is good. I know a lot of people are talking about the money she makes. She's got endorsements with State Farm and all these major companies. She's going to be all right. To lift the league up the way Magic and Bird did back in the 80s, they got to have a rivalry, something that other fan bases look forward to. And I'm hoping maybe Angel Reese is willing to be that villain.
She was kind of the villain. They were rivals in college basketball.
Right. A lot of trash talk a year ago.
Yes.
Not so much this year, but last year there was some bad blood. In 1 hour last night, Fanatics sold out of Caitlin Clark's Fever jersey in pretty much all sizes in 1 hour. Here is Caitlin Clark.
For myself, I can't imagine a more perfect fit, a better place for me to start my professional career, an organization that really believes in women's basketball and wants to do everything the right way. So I couldn't be, you know, more excited to get there.
again, she's going to be smart. She's going to say all the right things. She's a brand. So I'm curious to see how the Fever handle this level of stardom, because they've had good players. You know, like Tamika Catchings was unbelievable. But I don't think they've had anybody like this. This is star power coming to Indy. Last night, Governor Holcomb placed a congratulatory phone call to Caitlin Clark.
Congratulations, Caitlin. I have a permanent smile on my face. I'm calling from São Paulo, Brazil, but on behalf of 6.8 million Hoosier basketball crazed fanatics, let me just add my welcome to Indiana chorus.
And as Rob Kendall pointed out earlier, that's the same kind of welcome that Malik Muhammad got, that rolling out the red carpet Governor Holcomb treatment that domestic terrorist Malik Muhammad got from the governor.
Jeez.
Now, the mayor of Indy, Joe Hogsett, he put out a tweet. He's been talking about Caitlin Clark. We tried to get him on the show, but of course, Joe Hogsett's not going to come on our show, even though there's an open seat anytime he wants to come by the studio. So I decided to get the next best thing. Here to officially welcome Caitlin Clark to Indianapolis is AI Joe Hogsett.
Caitlin, welcome to Indy. I hope you enjoy the city. I also hope you have a bulletproof vest and a Glock. I'm just kidding. We haven't had a mass shooting in one of our tourist areas in a good 2 or 3 weeks now. And to be fair, most of our downtown shootings or riots are mostly peaceful. If you're looking for a place to live, I would avoid the canal area. It's a death trap. I would also avoid all of the east side. It's also a death trap.
Oh.
I would pretty much avoid all of downtown, too. Other than that, your options are unlimited. And as for places to kick back and unwind, you just let me know. Nobody knows more places to drink than I do. I know places where you have to have a special knock to get in, places where the booze they serve is so strong it makes your face turn really, 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 really red. So, in closing, welcome to Indy, Caitlin. In honor of your arrival, it's time for a sing-along.
Sing along with AI Joe Hogsett here.
I wasn't born for fixing potholes. I'm not made for paving these roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
AI Joe Hogsett.
Incredible.
Welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Tis the season for campaign ads.
That's right. All over the place.
Listen, here at WIBC, we are more than happy to take your money if you are a candidate, and we will put your message on the biggest flame-throwing radio station in the state of Indiana, one of the most listened-to talk stations in all of America. But every once in a while, there's a campaign ad that really captivates our attention. And right now, this Raju ad has got my attention.
Raju, shades of red, white, and blue's gonna protect you.
I love it. Like, I gotta be honest, I don't really know what Raju stands for, but I'm in love with the jingle.
Didn't he go on Tony Katz's show and cuss?
Yes. He did. And that's another reason why I'm intrigued. So I decided to take it up a notch, right?
Okay.
So I went back to my old club DJ kind of days, and I put together a remix. I played this on the Kendall and Casey show earlier for Rob and Casey, because okay. I know they love this song too. So tell me what you think about this. This is the dance mix. This is the Sandstorm remix of Raju's campaign ad.
Yes. Raju,
she's a friend of mine. I don't talk bullshit.
Bullshit.
I don't talk bullshit. I don't talk bullshit. I don't talk bullshit. I don't talk bullshit.
Incredible.
Get your glow sticks out.
Oh, I'm not ready to faint.
Break down.
Oh, yeah.
I don't talk.
Break down.
Get your glow sticks out.
Yeah, here we go. He's going to drop.
Kevin, get your glow sticks.
Somebody pass the ecstasy.
Let's go!
Here we go! Everybody up! Go! 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 Go!
Oh my gosh! This is Raju going for the younger demo! Yes. I love it!
I'm crying! I'm literally crying! That's so funny! Oh my gosh, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard! You should totally get a Marconi for that! That is awesome! Yeah. And I think my favorite part is I'm picturing myself at Landsharks at about 2 in the morning with glow sticks.
Yeah, Landsharks ain't opening back up, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Raju Sadala running for Indiana's 5th Congressional District. It's portions of Noblesville, Indianapolis, Carmel.
Right.
Right.
An amazing jingle that
good
we've
job,
taken
bud.
Next level.
That was next level for sure.
The Sandstorm remix. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest on the hotline.
Rob Collins is the founder and CEO of Coin, which I believe is the nation's only conservative credit card. Rob also spent many years as a political strategist. He was running the National Republican Senate Committee back when the Senate flipped to GOP control back in 2014. Rob, we've been talking a lot about the economy and inflation numbers on this show. We just got the inflation report a week ago. And I think one of the side conversations as a result of this, you know, everybody paying more money at the grocery store, paying more money for utilities at the gas pump, is that they're using their credit cards to do this, and now they're finding themselves in credit card debt. Is this really a offset of what's happening with the Biden plan? Is Joe Biden's economy and his economic plan to blame for so many Americans getting into credit card debt?
Well, I don't know how you can't blame the president. He's been in office long enough, and his policies have increased the price of gas, home heating, food. We were ordering lunch today, and they were out of white cheddar, and we were just joking around with them. What happened? And they're like, supply chain issues. I mean, so, you know, policies where you have more regulation, you have more threats to business, higher taxes, higher regulation. You know who that impacts the most? The middle class and poor working folks who have to pay the brunt of these new government regulations. And it's really hurting folks. It's really it's tough out there.
Do you happen to have a number of you know, is it in the trillions of Americans in credit card debt, like the total?
Well, there's I think it's $1.2 trillion is what the balances people are carrying.
Wow.
I think. I forgive me. We our cards are with folks who have 700 plus credit. So we're not in the subprime category, which is really folks who are rebuilding their credit. And that's where you see a lot of the debts. A lot of the folks, as you said, who are just trying to buy gas and groceries with their credit card are the folks who are kind of a little lower on the economic ladder. And they're really struggling with these high prices. The fact that while unemployment is low, a lot of folks, because of these high prices, they're working multiple jobs or having to do without.
And I think one of the things that just rubs people the wrong way here, Rob, is that, they're working multiple jobs. They're using their credit cards to pay to keep the lights on or pay to feed their family. But yet they turn on the television and they see Joe Biden passing out free money, wanting to get rid of everybody's college debt. They call it forgiveness. That's their buzzword here, forgiveness. I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Well, when I was growing up, you went to college to make sure you could get a better job to pay off your debts and you make a commitment. And I think about how my parents sacrificed and did without. And as a parent myself, how we have been planning since the birth of our children for this. And to see the president give, predominantly wealthy, middle class, kids who took went into occupations that doesn't allow them to pay back their debts, or they just won't be disciplined to pay it back. And folks who didn't go to college are now paying off those college debts. I don't see that's in the interest of the nation. I see how it's in the interest of President Biden trying to get himself reelected.
Yeah.
But I think it's terrible. I think it's a terrible policy. And, now think of all the parents out there who are getting ready to send their kids to college. They're going to encourage these kids to get debt because just on the off chance the government pays them off again. And so we're going to have people who probably, shouldn't be, but will take out loans who are going to pay more. And it just creates a spiral. And it's terrible federal policy. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for people trying to get ahead. And when it's all politics all the time, like it is in the White House, you see these bad things happen because they're, Joe Biden is having trouble with people under 30 staying voting with them. We saw it in Michigan. We've seen it in the primary. So what are they trying to do? They're just trying to buy votes. And that's all this is. So, wreck the economy, send money to Ukraine. It doesn't matter as long as, they can kind of get their coalition excited so they can win re-election.
Yeah, and I will say part of the problem, there's no excuse for it at all in terms of forgiving student debt. I'm totally against that. But, Rob, you have to admit, too, there are some awful predatory lenders out there. And I think some legislation needs to be enacted on that side of it as well.
Yeah, you're seeing kind of a bloom of, it used to be payday lenders, and now it's buy now, pay later. And we don't do any of that stuff at Coin, but you are seeing folks being taken advantage of and paying really high interest rates. And it's something that I think, people in Congress, Republican and Democrats, can get together on, which is, how do we make sure? Because it hurts our business too when people are charging an outrageous amount of interest. Because it hurts the whole ecosystem and it starts to create a chain reaction. Like I said, our folks are a little older, a little more wealthy, and a little more careful with their credit. So we don't have a lot of the problems that we're talking about now. We don't have any of the problems we're talking about now, candidly. But it doesn't change the fact that there are folks who are starting out or rebuilding, and they need help too.
Rob, I want to get your thoughts on some of these down ballot races in November. We keep talking about the president race, but I want to talk about the House and Senate in just a moment. But if somebody's just hearing about Coin for the first time, how do you explain what it is to them?
Sure. America's only conservative credit card. It's a Visa credit card where our customers get cash back just like every other credit card they've ever had. But every time they use their card, at no expense to them, we contribute to conservative charities every time the card is used. And it's the same card you've always had in your wallet, with one huge exception, which is we support conservative causes and give back to that community as best we can. And we're incredibly transparent. We're safe with your money. We're really focused on customer service, and we're not going to give your money to the Clinton Foundation, Acorn, Lavalle, you name it.
Rob Collins with us, the founder, CEO of Coin. And again, back in 2014, Rob was running the National Republican Senate Committee when the Senate flipped to Republican control. Rob, one of the things I noticed with Donald Trump is even though he polls really well and he's dynamic and things are going well right now, historically, down ballot Republicans haven't always seen the bounce that Donald Trump may bring. So what has to happen for the Republicans to win back the Senate and get a little bit more of a cushion in the House?
I think the biggest thing is exactly what you said is they have to run in parallel with Trump. They have to be supportive. They have to recognize he turns out a very specific kind of voter. And they need to be welcoming to that voter and get them to vote for them. But they also have to run their own campaigns. So just being Trump light isn't going to be enough. They have to have, here's what I would do with your vote. And when I go to D.C., I'm going to, you know, fix this inflation. I'm going to fix the border. I'm going to get us out of these foreign entanglements on wars. And I'm going to make the economy stronger. Now, a lot of that is what Trump is saying. But I think as a House or Senate candidate, you want to make sure you just have a really crisp message that's different. And gives people a reason to pull the lever for you and not just because you're underneath Donald Trump.
Should Donald Trump do a little bit more to help the down ballot? Because one thing we saw in Florida with Ron DeSantis when he was running for governor, he hit up all the down ballot Republicans from school board races, council races on, and they had a lot of success. And they completely flipped Florida from a swing state to a pretty good, comfortable red state. Does Donald Trump need to do a little more of that?
I think anytime you have a nominee, a Republican nominee, they need to do more of that and help out. But I think Trump does a lot. I'm actually always impressed at how, you know, into state races and even the state legislative races he is engaged. But I do think the candidates themselves have to really do a good job of building out their own profile. I think too often folks rely that, you know, they think, you know, Trump or Bush or whoever is going to come over top and pull me up. And, you know, the best way to survive in politics is to be selfish and take care of yourself.
Right.
And if you're not taking care of yourself and you're hoping someone else is going to get you there, you're probably not going to get what you want. So that said, the DeSantis model is one we should look at and say, is there more we can do? Yeah, it's good. That's good. That would be a good way to do things.
Rob Collins is the founder and CEO of Coin. If you want to look it up and do some research on it, it's really cool. Coign. That's how you spell it. Coign. Yeah. Coin. Rob, we appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys. Appreciate it.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Coming up a little bit after 4 o'clock, pretty good feud between Fox News reporter Peter Doocy and Biden's national security advisor, John Kirby. A nice little back and forth there. We'll have that audio for you. That was pretty fun. But Hammer, did you know today is officially Wear Pajamas to Work Day?
Did not know that.
It's a national thing. Although I see kids in high school wearing pajamas all the time to school.
Dude, when I drop Jacob off at school every day, like when I was going to school, kids would, you know, maybe dress up nice. They want to look good, you know, try to impress somebody.
Not anymore.
Kids are showing up wearing like slippers and pajama pants now. It's kind of a thing.
Well, I mean, look, during COVID, when there was nobody in this building but me and you and kind of the skeleton crew in the newsroom, I felt like there was a few months there where we were wearing our PJs into work.
Right.
You know, slippers, sweatpants.
For God's sake, Matt Bear, will you please put some pants on?
Yeah. Or you could actually go, people in their boxers walking around. So for those who still work from home, here's a little tribute from Hammer and Nigel Records.
I got in the habit of working at home and wearing pajamas.
Pajamas have got to be the world's funniest clothes.
Ultra casual.
They're very comfortable.
What are you going to wear on Casual Friday? Two Post-its and a sugar packet?
Who designed them to look that way, like a little tiny suit?
Sexy sleepwear.
Trying to keep it casual.
Now you get yourself a flannel briefcase, you're all set.
Pajamas.
I get in pajamas really often.
Pajamas.
Aren't you just the cat's pajamas?
Yeah, we're wearing what we slept in last night. I don't even have a robe and my shirt's coming off.
Yeah!
Is today laundry day or was that yesterday?
I'm still in my pajamas.
Keep things casual.
In flannels and sandals. Haven't put on my pants for days now. Got the bedhead. Don't regret it. I'm not shaving. Ain't no changing now.
Pajamas. Casual.
Pajamas.
I really ought to do something, but I am already in my pajamas.
That's going to be in your head for the rest of the day. Got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, my wife works from home. She doesn't have a home base like office, and she gets up every morning before I do and gets dressed, and she does not do the business mullet thing. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Like, a very nice top. She's got her hair done and makeup and wearing sweatpants.
That's what's known as the business mullet.
I believe it's called the business mullet.
Professional up top, party down below.
Nope. Yeah, right. So no wearing pajamas to work for her.
Hey, real quick, before we hit a break here, get your tickets now. Tales from the Track, presented by Relay Indiana. Scott Dixon is our guest. Man, each day, more and more tickets get sold. If you want to go, buy your tickets right now, WIBC.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
Yeah, Hammer, I first heard the awful news this morning during Tony Katz's show about the Hendricks County Sheriff deputy that died after coming into contact with downed power lines. He was responding to a crash. And I'm just thinking, you know, on top of it just being an awful, tragic loss, but, you know, these guys, they have enough to worry about. Some people don't support the police. Some people ambush the police. We have gangs. We have people. We have criminals that have no regard for human life. And this Hendricks County Sheriff is trying to help do the right thing, respond to a crash, and gets hit into with some down power lines and passes away. Just, I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me.
Deputy Fred Feisler died at Eskenazi Hospital. In the early portion of today, the accident happened just before midnight, 2600 block of South State Road 267. He had been hired in by the Hendricks County Sheriff's Office in December of 21. He served in the Enforcement Division for about 2.5 years. He also served in the United States Marine Corps. He was part of the 226th basic class of the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. And again, what seemed like it was a routine stop, if you will, pulling over to check out an accident. Down power lines, man. Just heartbreaking. I am just so broken up over this because he's got a family. You see the pictures, and now his car has become a place where people are dropping off flowers and things. And man, just breaks my heart. I believe the folks in Plainfield are the ones taking the lead on the investigation here. But thoughts and prayers, man. I mean, I don't know what else you can say to the family of Deputy Fred Feisler, but man, this stinks. Hate to hear that. Now, you talked about a pretty good little back and forth last hour between Fox News reporter Peter Ducey and the National Security Advisor, John Kirby.
Yeah, as this was in a press briefing about the Iran-Israel situation. And if you remember last week, when Biden was asked about Iran attacking Israel, his response was, no. His response was, don't. Just in the completely most feeble, weakest way you can imagine somebody saying don't.
My favorite part of any time you or I do a Biden impression, it's the grunt that comes before and after.
Don't. And this was Peter Doocy asking Kirby if that maybe was the right strategy.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about...
And they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region.
And
let me finish. He added military resources to the region right after October 7th. And then when we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region. More destroyers that were capable of shooting down ballistic missiles, a fighter squadron that was able to shoot down drones. And that's what we did. So you can talk about the don't word all you want, but let's talk about what did happen. And what did happen was Iran utterly failed.
Yeah, but they did.
Yeah, they did. Biden said don't, but they did.
Right.
The U.S. and the U.K. and Jordan and some other foreign allies there had Israel's back, were shooting down suicide drones left and right. But the simple fact is, Biden said don't, and they did. But let's talk about what we did.
Yeah, but they did, too, after they were told don't. Anyway, this was another part of that little back and forth between Doocy and Kirby. The subject of, for whatever reason, go back to the Obama days to now Joe Biden. They love unfreezing assets and giving it to Iran, the world's biggest state sponsor of terror. They love unfreezing money and giving it to Iran.
You know, Hammer, come on, that's going to human aid inside Iran. That's what it's going
to. That's right, because the Iranians are all about helping humanity. Take a listen to this little back and forth.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars.
For Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
hey, it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff?
Exactly.
Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously.
And you'd be losing that bet.
This unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the supreme leader of the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes, and we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
And again, that frees up other funds that Iran would normally be using.
Right.
For humanitarian aid, which I doubt is that much anyway, that frees up a bunch of money for them to, like Doocy saying, you know, buy a bunch of suicide drones and make them and send them towards Israel.
It's the same thing you see with the Gaza Strip. Well, all of this money went to the leaders of the Palestinian state. They're going to do humanitarian purposes with it. Or they're going to take that money and do something else with it. How confident are you that the stand-up folks from Iran are making sure that money is earmarked for humanitarian purposes? And if they are, like you said, let's just say that money is being used for humanitarian purposes. It frees up money for other things like, bombing Israel. And the money was frozen previously, right? You want to talk about the previous administration. Money was frozen. You went out of your way to unfreeze it, knowing damn well what would happen. And some reason, whether it's President Obama or Joe Biden, they love unfreezing assets to give to Iran.
Pallets and pallets of cash stacked as stacked shoulder high, baby.
This story from Oklahoma, I love this because I could totally see myself being caught up in a situation like this.
Like what?
So there's a family in Oklahoma, their son, their 9-year-old son, he loves sea life. He wanted an octopus as a pet for his birthday.
Okay.
So they spent $600, they got a sea salt aquarium and everything, and they bought the kid an octopus for his birthday.
I didn't even know you could buy an octopus.
They thought it was a male. It was a female.
Oops.
Turns out it was pregnant.
Oops.
And it had 50 different babies.
Ooh.
So now they've had to go out and buy numerous water tanks. It's taking over half of their extra bathroom. Thousands of dollars on food supplies, water damage repairs, because they had an incident where the salt water spilled, landed on an electrical outlet, and started a small fire. They're trying to take care of 51 octopus.
What are they supposed to do with the overflow of octopi?
Octopi? I mean,
can you donate it to a zoo?
I don't know.
Like, what the hell are you going to do with 50 octopuses?
The dad, he's a 36-year-old dentist, said his son Cal has been obsessed with octopus since the age of 3. And every birthday, every Christmas, every holiday, he'd always say, I want to get an octopus. So they finally got him one. They thought it was a male.
Oh.
It was a female. Popped out 50 different babies. And now they don't know what to do with it.
Those things creep me out anyway.
So I feel bad for the dad. You try to do something right for your kids. You bite the bullet. You buy this expensive aquarium. Next thing you know, you're taking care of over 50 of these things.
I could barely take care of a single cat. Let alone 50 octopi. Is that the plural?
Is it octopus, octopi? I don't know.
Octopuses?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Hammer and Nigel presents
is
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play? Is this anything?
I'm going to run some stories by you. You break down all the information and give us the verdict. Is the story anything or not?
Okay.
The next big innovation in doorbell cameras is apparently a device that's aimed to shoot things at unwanted visitors when they come up to your home.
What?
There's a Kickstarter coming out of, I think, Norway, and it's called Paint Cam Eve. And what it does is it shoots paintballs and cartridges of tear gas
come on
out to people with amazing accuracy. Here's a commercial they created for their Kickstarter.
An AI-powered robotic security system equipped with an integrated paintball launcher, face recognition, and sound dispatchers, which allows me to recognize intruders and stop them in their tracks.
You are identified as a non-authorized personnel. You have 5 seconds to leave the property. Zero compliance. Zero tolerance.
I don't think this is anything. It sounds like a lawsuit is what it sounds like to me.
Right.
Although I'd love one. Don't get me wrong. No more door-to-door salesmen knocking on my door and they see the, what they call it, the Paint Cam Eve?
Yes.
Sir, if you don't leave my property right away, I'm going to start pummeling you with paintballs and tear gas. I'm looking at this thing. It's legit. I mean, it's not. It's a real thing. But, you know, they have those laws, and I think they're kind of BS, too. People can't booby-trap their house in case, you know, say, like, maybe a rental house has been broken into a couple of times. You can't put a plywood full of nails sticking out underneath a window or
you
something.
You can't go
like
full
you know
home
I mean?
Alone.
Right, exactly. That's you could get sued. You could probably go to jail. So I'm not sure. And plus, if you're wanting to kick in somebody's door, I don't know that a bunch of paintballs is going to stop somebody with the armed with a gun.
Right.
This doesn't make sense to me. I don't think this Kickstarter campaign's going anywhere. Sorry.
Although I love the idea of tear gassing somebody from time to time.
No more Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on my door.
Is this anything? A guy in Canada is being harassed by someone who keeps sending him pizza. Around $1,000 worth of pizza.
No.
The pizzas keep coming to his home day after day.
And his work.
Night after night.
I'm just reading about this guy.
Here's the victim and a police officer talking about the prank.
So I checked my emails and it had an order that I never ordered. So then we told him that it wasn't me that ordered the pizzas. So that's when we called the head office of Pizza 73 and told him that anyone with the name Justin or Mickey cancel the orders.
The suspects that are ordering the pizza are actually obviously using technology to spoof his number, which they know. So when they call it, it's coming up as him.
I never dated anyone, so it's not that. I hope karma gets you someday and delivers pizza to your house.
I never dated anybody, so it's definitely not that.
That's sad.
Boy, that is awful. That was the saddest, most depressing thing I've ever heard. And now he's getting bullied by people sending him random pizzas. And he's never had a date in his life. Look, if the pizza's paid for, I'm taking it.
Right.
Usually you have to. No. Usually they give you the option to either pay at the door or with credit card over the phone.
Right. But so if they're expecting him to pay at the door.
Yeah, I didn't order this.
Yeah, no. But if somebody's prepaid it, if you want to bully me, go ahead.
I've never dated anybody before, so I know it's not that. It's not an ex-boyfriend.
That's the saddest part of this whole story.
That was awful.
Like, the pizza showing up at his house.
That's kind of comical.
Yeah.
I get it. It's annoying.
But then it took, like, a real serious turn. I've never dated anyone. My God, this guy's spending time in the Lambda, Lambda, Lambda fraternity. It's like Poindexter. I've never been out with a girl before. Is this anything? Here's the scenario.
Okay.
You just puked.
Yeah.
Should you brush your teeth right away?
I say yes.
Or not?
Yeah, get that taste out of my mouth. Ugh.
Here's a dentist in England on why, along with a couple of other times, you should hold off brushing your teeth.
You should never brush after you've just vomited. This is because the contents of the stomach are extremely acidic and the mouth is in a very acidic state. So if you brush straight after, you're basically wearing away your enamel. You should never brush straight after breakfast. This is because if you brush your teeth, you're rubbing that acid on the tooth, which is a mineral, and it can wear it down. Don't brush your teeth after you've just had sweets. Wait at least 60 minutes. This is because when you've just eaten sweets, the mouth has digested it into an acid and that acid is going to get rubbed on the teeth and destroy the enamel.
I don't get the puking thing. I'll just wash my mouth out and wash the acid out of my mouth.
Right.
And then, I go straight to the toothbrush. That's awful.
And why are we supposed to listen to a dentist in England, of all places? Like, why don't you focus on fixing the teeth of the people in your country before you start worrying about the vomit-filled mouths of Americans? Like, England's got the worst teeth of anybody on the planet.
Now, that's just a common stereotype. That's not true.
Great moments in vomit puke history. There have been a number of cases on this program where you, Nige, have thrown up. Here's one of them. Wrote,
play it again. Just play her swallow.
A national emergency has been invoked.
Oh, there it is.
She swallowed a fly.
Oh, it's all down her throat, Nigel.
Stop, it's all going down her throat with all that bacteria
on the fly's legs. And oh man.
All the fly larvae. Yeah,
she had to burp it up at one point and the fly and the saliva all came out. Looks like we did it, Kyle. We made it, baby. We got him. We got him.
And this is real.
Oh, this is real. This is happening. Do it on the camera so everybody knows we're not faking it. So I'm just going to assume that grunt means, yes, this is something.
A national emergency has been...
Zap! Go to break.
We better clean the studio
up. Go to break!
Great moments in Nigel puking on the air history. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Crime, punishment, judges,
legal stuff.
Legal stuff.
Hammer, we all know what happened on the set of the Alec Baldwin movie Rust. There was an accidental death. Alec Baldwin took what he thought was an unloaded gun on the movie set, and he says he didn't even pull the trigger, but ended up killing the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. Now, there's something called an armorer on these movie sets, which they're supposed to take care of all the guns that are used in the movies and make sure none of them are loaded. I doubt any of these guns are like actual functioning anyway, but this one was for some reason. And so we have a verdict. We have a sentence for the armorer, sentenced to 18 months in prison for the death of that cinematographer. Alec Baldwin goes on trial in July. All of this is just so crazy, man. What were their real firearms or bullets or whatever you call them that was in Alec Baldwin's gun? Why didn't he check it after he was handed the gun? That's kind of the protocol on a movie set. You're handed a, quote, cold gun.
Right.
You check it. You double check it to make sure it's not loaded. I mean, Alec Baldwin hasn't spent a day in jail, and he's the one that killed her. Although, I mean, I know it was an accident for sure. Right.
Now, this armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, she's going to spend 18 months in prison. The responsibility was hers to make sure that the gun was safe. Now, she did not do herself any favors, though, because she acted like a complete clown during this whole process. She was calling the jurors idiots and a-holes. What? She said that witnesses lied. She said the judge was paid off. So this Gutierrez Reed chick certainly did not do herself any favors, but she's going to be spending 18 months in prison.
If this... do you believe Alec Baldwin's going to spend a day in jail? I mean,
no.
If this is the trend, though, I mean, she was convicted. How can one person be guilty of manslaughter and not Alec Baldwin?
That's a good point.
This is the standard. Is it the same judge as hearing both trials? I don't know. But I think the ultimate, you know, Alec Baldwin still denies any responsibility whatsoever on any level.
He said he didn't pull the trigger.
Which is impossible. There have been forensic experts that said, yeah, for that to have happened, you had to pull the trigger. And the ultimate in arrogance is the fact that he went back to the set last year and finished the movie, which... I'm never going to watch that movie. I would never watch that movie anyway.
Right.
But the arrogance and just the complete callousness. Wouldn't you shut that down? Wouldn't something horrific like that happen on the set?
Yeah. I mean, there's two ways to look at that. Like, you can say, I don't ever want to go back there. Or you could say, I know Helena Hutchins really wanted this movie to be made. I'm going to honor her. I'm going to finish the movie. I mean, you could look at it that way, I guess. But let's go back to the armorer chick, Hannah Gutierrez Reed. Okay. She was offered a plea deal if she admitted that she purchased the weapons, was in charge of everything, but she turned it down. And her father is speaking out. He's blaming the ammunition supplier and the prop master. So there are multiple levels of people who failed the family of Helena Hutchins here. Prop master, weapons provider, supplier, the armorer, and Alec Baldwin himself.
I just don't see how, I don't see him spending a day in jail, but B, I don't see how he's not charged with manslaughter if the armorer was. I just don't get it.
Speaking of legal stuff, big day in New York today. District Attorney Alvin Bragg filed a motion to hold Donald Trump in contempt for violating his gag order, and he's threatening the former president with 30 days of jail time. Fat Alvin also warns that if there are any future violations, those also could be punishable with 30 days of incarceration. So each violation, he adds 30 days.
Okay. Yeah. Again, a guy that we're not going to wind up seeing in jail, Donald Trump. I doubt the Secret Service would ever let that happen.
So Trump spoke yesterday, because he's got multiple things going on in New York. Donald Trump said that the judge, Merchan, told him he's not allowed to attend Barron Trump's high school graduation.
Complete BS. Just
and awful. He's not allowed to basically speak because there's a gag order, and the judge won't let him attend a hearing before the Supreme Court. I mean, the smacketh down has been laid here on Donald Trump. So let's see how he reacts. He could, on one hand, play ball, try to do things the right way, or take the animal house approach. Like, remember when the Delta House guys realized they're going to get busted anyway? They're going to bust us no matter what we do. We might as well have a good time. And then they threw a toga party. So which route do you think Donald Trump's going to take? I don't think he's going to cooperate with this gag order. And I think he might just pop up and show up at Barron's graduation and kind of throw his hands up like Doughboy and Boys in the Hood.
What now?
What's up now? John Legend, super liberal activist, singer, songwriter, lunatic lefty. He says that Donald Trump is actually the beneficiary of a two-tiered justice system.
What?
Well, he is a part of a two-tiered system of justice, but not in the way that he thinks he is. Mm-hmm. He is getting way more concessions than the average criminal defendant would get.
Really?
He's getting delays. He's got access to all kinds of lawyers that are filing this and filing that, delaying every trial. And most people don't have access to that kind of lawyering, don't have access to the kind of concessions that the justice system will provide to you if you can afford it.
Hey, look, you know, he's still getting the shaft in a sham trial. They're trying to take him off the ballot. They're trying to get him to not run. They're trying to put the political opponents in jail. But hey, he's rich and he has lawyers, so it's all okay. God, stick to playing the piano, dude. No one cares about your political commentary. Dumbest.
His whole point of view was Donald Trump's wealthy and can afford attorneys. Therefore, it's a broken justice system. That's the argument. Nothing else about the whole situation bothers John Legend.
Right.
But that's the straw that broke his back right there.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Eric was caller number 9. Eric, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good, good. You Aerosmith fan, Eric?
Yes, I am.
Good, good. Tickets are on the line here. They're coming to Indy January 16th, Gainbridge. Peace out the farewell tour. And this is the game we're going to play. It's called U.S. History with Steven Tyler. My esteemed colleague, Big Nige, is going to do his awesome Steven Tyler impression where he's reciting some sort of moment in the history of the United States.
And this is in typical Steven Tyler scat style.
Correct. All right. If you can tell us what it is and get 2 out of 3, we'll give you the tickets, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so please wait till Steven Tyler is done. Here we go, number 1.
And yeah, he was the tallest U.S. president. He freed the slaves and assassinated by John Wilkes Booth.
Eric, who are we talking about there?
Would be the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, Abraham Lincoln. One down, one to go. Here we go. Once again.
And a Statue of Liberty was a gift from France. It sits in the harbor in what U.S. state?
What state is the Statue of Liberty in, Eric?
New York.
Yeah, there we go.
Since this is the last day we're playing this, you might as well play the third one.
All right, Eric.
You having a good time over there, Allison, by the way? She's over there laughing her ass off at me.
You need to do this more often.
No.
All right, Eric, you've already got the tickets. Now we're just playing for house money here. Let's see if you can run the table. This would have been number 3.
Yeah, the Civil War was fought between two sides. The Union was on one side. What was the name of the other one?
That would be the Confederacy.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Thank God that's the end of that.
Nigel said, I don't want to do this anymore. We'll have a new game tomorrow. But Eric, congratulations. You won the tickets, which means whoever you take to the show, they've got to drive so you can have some beverages.
Absolutely.
Right on. Stay on the line, and Allison will take care of you. More tickets to give away. We'll play a different game tomorrow.
Thank you.
Hey, this is pretty cool. According to ESPN, Indiana Pacers star Tyrese Halliburton will be part of the Olympic team this year. Team USA competing in the Paris Olympics. And man, this is a squad.
Man, I was not even thinking about the Summer Olympics. It's coming up. Yeah. Wow.
Listen to this squad the USA is putting together here. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I think it's over before it's even started there for the Olympic basketball.
The old timers like LeBron and Steph Curry, they said they wanted this to kind of be their last dance, so to speak. So they got the band back together. It's the big time players, man. LeBron, Curry, Durant, Tatum, and Halliburton's a part of that. And it reminds me of that first Dream Team.
Yeah.
You know, with Magic and Larry and Michael Jordan and all of those guys.
I remember I just had to get to the finish line in Speedway to buy that shirt with all their caricatures on them.
Yes.
Like after the Bulls won their championship, I had to buy that shirt, and then I had to buy the U.S. Olympic shirt as well.
I had the poster in my room, the Dream Team poster. And again, one of my favorite sound bites of all time, they were interviewing Charles Barkley. Their first game was against Angola, and they asked Charles Barkley his thoughts on the Dream Team's first opponent.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
So Hammer, I'll pose a question to you. How fired up are you that Caitlin Clark, women's college basketball, questionably one of the best players in the history of that sport, is coming to Indiana to play for the WNBA and the Indiana Fever? Are you fired up, or is it more like, I'm fired up for the city?
I'm fired up for the city, and I mean, I'm fired up for the Fever too. Good for them. Maybe fired up isn't the right word. I'm excited for the city of Indianapolis because I do think they're going to see some money coming in from this, what could be generational talent coming to our city. Now, there's a lot of pressure being put on the shoulders of this young lady. Caitlin Clark, drafted by the Indiana Fever last night, just a phenom when it comes to women's basketball.
Okay, pressure, but she can handle the pressure, right? I mean, she was under such pressure during her career as a college basketball player, especially the past two seasons. And, you know, unfortunately, she did not win a championship, but I felt like she was under tremendous pressure and showed up.
Yes. And now I think it's a different type of pressure where it's more business related. I mean, let's be honest, the weight of this franchise, the weight maybe of the WNBA is on her shoulders. I mean, that's a lot for a 22-year-old, right? Think back to when you were 22. I mean, what kind of decisions were you making back
then? Bad.
Same here. And now all of these corporations, the league, the city, they're all banking on her performing at a high level for the Indiana Fever.
Why do you think, like, I couldn't tell you the name, unfortunately, of the Fever's number one draft pick last year.
Aaliyah Boston.
They had the number one pick last year. That's how bad the Fever, 2 years in a row now, have the number one pick in the WNBA lottery. Something just caught fire with Caitlin Clark, right?
It did. I think it's the way she plays the game. Like, she crosses half court and she's open at that point. Like, she can pull, and unlike a lot of people, when they shoot shots and you think, man, that's a bad shot, that ain't going in. She could shoot 10 shots from half court. I think she's going to make the majority of them. I mean, she's that.
She's going to be doing gifted. That in the WNBA, though? Like, see, taking some of those shots that she was taking on the college level?
I don't think she's going to be that aggressive early on. I think she's going to be the point guard. And if you've watched her play, she's great at distributing the ball. She sees the court, great vision. So I think she's going to try to get her teammates involved before she starts working on her own offensive stats.
I did feel like watching that championship game against SC, I felt like she may have been, although she's a good ball handler and a good distributor, I felt like she was a little lackadaisical in bringing the ball up the court. There was turnovers. She got her pocket picked a few times. Probably something she needs to work. I'm not a coach, not a, just something I noticed. And there were people on Twitter saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Just,
but I think it's going to be great for the city because what's going to happen now is there's never been a women's basketball player that's had this type of following, right? Little girls playing in leagues all over the Midwest, they want to be Caitlin Clark. And now they're going to ask their moms and pops, can we go watch her play? So these girls that live in Iowa, Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, the surrounding areas, they're going to come into Indy. It's their chance to see Caitlin play a game. They're going to stay in hotels. They're going to dine at our restaurants.
Oh, my wife's coworkers in St. Louis, they've already bought several single game tickets to different games, and they'll be traveling from St. Louis to watch her.
My favorite thing that I've seen on social media is that Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson, he's praying that Caitlin Clark makes more money. Because, let's be honest, the WNBA salary structure is not real strong. So Caitlin's rookie contract, it's 4 years, is going to be worth around $338,000.
Wait. Per year?
Total.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty low.
Yeah, so she's making mid-70s her first year. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at that now. That does surprise me a little bit, I guess, but the WNBA is not a successful money-making league right now.
It could not exist if not for the money of the NBA that backs it.
Like, I don't exactly know how it works, but I'm assuming if they paid them all $500,000 a year, there'd be like five teams.
Right.
You know?
It's about profit margin, right? That's what it is. And last year, you know, the Indiana Fever average attendance average was probably around 4,000 fans a game.
Well, I think there's going to be sold out games. Is that going to be sustainable with Caitlin Clark?
I think the first year it will be. And then it depends on how she performs. Again, tons of pressure on this young lady. And what I like about Caitlin, she seems to be pretty professional about it. Like the way Michael Jordan used to handle his business. You didn't know if he was a Republican, Democrat. He wasn't shoving politics down your throat. You know, Michael Jordan had the famous saying, look, Republicans buy shoes too, when it came to being a pitch man. So let's see what happens. The WNBA is a pretty woke league. So what's going to happen if some of her teammates want to take a knee for the anthem for one reason? Or,
I mean, is that still a thing? I don't even know.
Maybe they're all about having dudes dress up as women and play in the league.
Well, the coach of SC was.
Right. I mean, so what if that's a thing? How's she going to handle that? Because now she's a brand. She's a business now. She's not just a basketball player. There's a lot of people relying on her to do the right thing.
And even though she's got, you know, the salaries aren't even comparable between the NBA and the WNBA, she's going to have endorsements out the wazoo.
Oh, she's probably already a millionaire.
Yeah.
Multiple times over. State Farm sponsored the draft last night. She's endorsed by State Farm. So she's got big-time clients. Right, she's going to be just fine. But Clay Travis of OutKick, he's kind of got the same perspective that I had. For the WNBA to be successful, building around Caitlin Clark, there needs to be somebody else. There's got to be a rival, right? The way Magic Johnson had Larry Bird, there's got to be somebody to challenge Caitlin Clark.
It might translate to higher ratings. This is where, again, I think she's a unicorn. Nobody really cares about the WNBA franchises. I think she'll improve the attention. I think she'll improve the attendance. But I think the problem is most people just don't care about the WNBA. And I don't know that she's going to move the needle. And honestly, what Caitlin Clark would need at some point is a Magic Johnson to her Larry Bird. She would need, if she's going to be Michael Jordan, she would need the Detroit Pistons. She would need somebody to be the foil and the antagonist for her protagonist story. And I'm just not sure where that's coming from right now.
So maybe that's the girl from LSU, Angel Reese.
Yeah.
You know, she got drafted by Chicago. You know, it's a close rivalry there. But for the league to flourish, not just Caitlin, but for the league to flourish, there's got to be somebody that steps up and is willing to be the villain here, right? Somebody to say, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about Caitlin.
Yep.
She never won anything. She can kiss my bleep. Like, there's got to be a villain involved here. Batman needs a Joker, and I'm waiting to see who that's going to be.
You hear the governor called her and congratulated her, Governor Holcomb.
Right. Gave her the red carpet treatment the same way he gave it to domestic terrorist Malik Muhammad.
Oh, my.
And Joe Hogsett, the mayor of Indy, he put out some messages on social media. Because let's be honest, the city stands to make a lot of money from the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. Now, we invited Joe to come on the show. He told us no. But we decided we didn't want to leave you guys, you know, in the dark. So here to officially welcome Caitlin Clark once again, AI Joe Hogsett.
Caitlin, welcome to Indy. I hope you enjoy the city. I also hope you have a bulletproof vest and a Glock. I'm just kidding. We haven't had a mass shooting in one of our tourist areas in a good 2 or 3 weeks now.
True.
And to be fair, most of our downtown shootings or riots are mostly peaceful.
Mostly.
If you're looking for a place to live, I would avoid the canal area. It's a death trap. I would also avoid all of the east side. It's also a death trap.
Okay.
I would pretty much avoid all of downtown, too.
Okay.
Other than that, your options are unlimited. And as for places to kick back and unwind, you just let me know. Nobody knows more places to drink than I do. I know places where you have to have a special knock to get in. Places where the booze they serve is so strong, it makes your face turn really, 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 really red. So, in closing, welcome to Indy, Caitlin. In honor of your arrival, it's time for a sing-along.
A little sing-along AI Joe Hogsett here.
I wasn't born for fixing potholes. I'm not made for paving these roads. I ain't cut out to climb highline poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Yeah! Woo! AI Joe Hogsett.
Incredible.
Once again, welcoming Caitlin Clark.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy. But Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Are you okay?
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel.
Oh, yeah! So Hammer, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce, he's a Kansas City Chiefs All-Pro tight end, just won another Super Bowl. You're not gonna believe what he did. He committed the sin. Let me gather myself here. Travis Kelce liked a pro-Trump Instagram post from Sage Steele, and the Swifties are losing their minds. Are you okay with this?
I'm going to defer to Allison on this one. Allison is a resident Swiftie. I'm going to give her the nickname. I'm going to force the nickname upon her. The voice of Swifties in Indiana.
Great. No pressure.
Allison, what's wrong with you people?
That's a great question. Like we said earlier, everyone buys shoes, right? Republicans
Correct.
Buy shoes. I think everyone listens to Taylor Swift's music.
But people on social media that follow Taylor Swift, and they know where she leans politically. She hates Donald Trump. She endorsed Biden back in 2020. She had cute little cookies that said vote for Biden and all that stuff back in 2020. Now they're freaking out because the dude she has relations with, the football player, liked an Instagram post of somebody else saying something nice about Donald Trump.
I have nothing for you. I truly have nothing for you.
Well, I can't believe in this day and age.
I don't know why they care.
People are outraged. They have time to be raging over someone clicking like.
Correct.
Get a effing life, losers. And I don't even know. And Sage Steele, by the way, the former ESPN anchor who was let go. There was a lawsuit involved because of something she tweeted pro-Trump or something like that. All had to do with her. But I just honestly, Hammer, I mean, like, really? Like, I don't care.
Of all the things in this world to be upset about, of all the things to lose your mind over, who was so upset at Travis Kelce for liking a post from Sage Steele about Trump? Now, if the picture was Travis Kelce wearing a MAGA hat and it said FJB on his shirt or something like that, maybe we could have a debate. But it wasn't even his post. Maybe he's just friends with Sage Steele and clicked like. But Allison's friends, the Swifties, are losing their minds.
Great.
All right, this is for both of you. Let's stay on Taylor Swift here for a second. Courtney Love, who is once notoriously, you know, famous for being married to Kurt Cobain of Nirvana.
Yeah.
Courtney Love doesn't think Taylor Swift is important or interesting. She's got this new radio series called Courtney Loves Women. And in an interview to promote it, ironically, she took some shots at Taylor Swift. Quote, Taylor is not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably the Madonna of now, but she's not interesting as an artist. Are you okay with these comments?
No.
So first of all, before we get into the Taylor Swift stuff, Courtney Love's radio series is called Courtney Loves Women. And what she's doing here is just crapping all over one of the most popular women on the planet right now. Seems a little counterproductive. And for Courtney Love to think anyone is, boring or whatever, who is she? She's a nobody. The only reason we know who this awful woman is because of her insanely talented husband, who a lot of people think she killed.
Well, she was also in a band called Hole at one point.
Right.
So there's that.
Would we know Hole if it weren't for her talented ex-husband?
No,
not at all. So Allison, I'll defer to you here. Courtney Love bashing Taylor Swift, calling her basically not important, not interesting.
She's just trying to get publicity for her book, so she's going to say the word Taylor Swift. And two, you can like someone's music and still say they've made an impact on society.
Thank you very much. Wow, hot take from Allison.
Right. I want to get back to Courtney Love killing Kurt Cobain. Can we have that discussion?
There's been a couple different documentaries.
Right.
About the theories there.
There's a rumor, there's a theory out there that Kurt Cobain didn't kill himself. Kind of like a Jeffrey Epstein thing. Somebody else was involved, and that someone may or may not have been the lead singer of Hole. All right, coming up next. Are you ready for it, Nige?
What?
Caller roulette.
No.
Anything goes. So if you want to talk about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, if you want to talk about the election coming up, if you want to hit on Allison, hit on Matt Bear, hit on John Herrick, you can do that. Just give us your name and we will take your call. Nigel and I are not going to know what's coming, but all we ask of you is you keep it clean and turn your radio down and keep it brief. Those are the rules of engagement. So 239-9393. Whatever you want to talk about, politics, music, pop culture, whatever goes. Call a roulette. There are no rules except for keeping it clean and keeping it brief. 239-9393.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Buckle up. Anything can happen here.
Oh, hell yeah. Let it ride. Let it ride. Yeah.
Hammer and Nigel present Caller Roulette.
So on most talk shows that are on the radio, the producer screens out the calls. We know their name. We know what they want to talk about. Everything is ready to go on the air. That's not how this works.
Nope.
All we have is a name. We have no idea what awaits us on the other side of this phone bank.
Oh, boy.
So, again, if you're on hold, these are the rules of engagement. Please keep it clean. Keep it brief. Turn your radio down. Let's do it. Paula, you are up first. Paula, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What do you want to talk about?
I love your show. I have two suggestions for the state legislator. I didn't mention the first one to your screener because I hadn't thought about it. Give us primaries with none of the above option. And please, I don't think older people deserve a free ride, but there needs to be some sort of cap on property taxes because they're going up 25% every 2 years.
Yep. Thank you, Paula.
Just like Brewster's Millions, vote for none of the above.
None of the above. And I'm starting to hear more and more property tax talk about helping the older folks, which is great, but it'd be really great if they could help everybody out.
That'd be nice.
Because, man, we opened up ours and it was a swift kick to the Jimmy.
Yep.
Speaking of swift kicks, real quick, before we get back to the phone bank, there's a dude passed out here on Monument Circle under the flag, and he's been there for a while. And during the break, Allison and I just saw like a security guard come up, like kind of kick him to make sure he was alive.
Jiggled him with his foot
a little bit. And I think he's alive. All but right. If you're driving around Monument Circle, the United States flag that's on the Soldiers and Sailors Monument, there's a dude passed out right underneath of it. It's kind of patriotic, to be honest with you. Let's go to Frank. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. Frank, what do you want to talk about?
Well, hey, thanks, guys. I listen to you guys every day. I get that opportunity for an hour and a half. I appreciate you. My question is, every beer sample Friday you guys have, what's your favorite? What's been your favorite?
The beer bong last week was mine. And that was just with Miller Lite.
Nigel dominated the beer bong.
I was proud of myself.
Listen, I heard that. Yeah, right on, guys. Thanks for everything you guys do.
You got it. Thank you, Frank. Like, I knew I would probably have a hard time because I have to chug. I can't just open up and let it go down. I have to chew up a leaf.
And then JMV walking here at the last second like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And walking across from his studio to ours to do one with us.
He struggled worse than I did. Like, JMV got it all over himself and couldn't finish the full beer at the time.
Totally worth it.
Let's go to James. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Awesome.
Okay. I want to talk about Rob Kendall. He comes across as really just a tough guy, but he doesn't have live callers like your show does. I think you guys... I think he's lost his man card to you guys just because you guys have the nerve to take live callers.
Yeah, they do the voicemails.
I remember the good old days when there used to be live callers like, hey, call in if you want to talk about XYZ topic. Rob doesn't do that. You know why? I think Rob is a little bit scared.
Well, shots fired at the representative of Brownsburg there.
mark this tape and play that on your hit with him tomorrow.
Yes, we're going to have to play this back when I join Rob and Casey tomorrow for the 1048 segment. Debbie is up next. Debbie, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show.
Hey.
Deb.
Hi. I just want you guys to know I used to hate it when you would fill in, and now I absolutely love you. I just love listening to you. But I have a question that I've been dying to ask, so I'm so excited I got in. I have been a Weight Watcher coach for 20 years. I lost 125 pounds and have kept it off. And Hammer, I just have a question. Do you gain weight back every year just so you can have the bet with Rob?
Man, I am I'm a binge guy. That's the problem. I gain weight quick, but I lose it quick. And if I go a period knowing that I don't have to weigh in, I start thinking to myself, well, I can have an extra couple pieces of pizza. I can have another couple beers.
Sure.
That weigh-in on Friday holds me accountable. And that's why I keep bringing it back.
You were down a couple tenths of a pound. Do I understand that?
That's a win. I lost weight last weekend. That's what you were trying to say. Yes, I did.
Dib, that's a lot of you lost a lot of weight. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, congratulations to you.
I just always want to ask, because let me tell you, if I hadn't been a coach for 20 years, I could have very easily gained mine back. So I just get so tickled. I'm like, does he just gain that back so he can do this bet every year?
Man, I'm telling you, Deb, it gets tougher and tougher every year because
it's tough.
For a dude like me, man, that metabolism, you're relying on it. And again, I gain it quick, I lose it quick, but each year it gets a little tougher. Ashley, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show. Ashley, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I heard that this was my opportunity to flirt with your news director, Mr. John Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm also his fiancé, so do I get to marry him? Is that my price here?
Is this really John's fiancé?
Are you really John's fiancé? Okay, awesome.
I heard you trying to, like, dish him out to the rest of the city. I heard that.
Yeah, you know what? It's bros before, you know, fiancés.
Oh, no.
Then what are you doing on this show?
Ashley, neither Hammer and I were invited to your wedding, with you and John Herrick's wedding. What's up with that?
So I ordered the invitations, but I wasn't smart enough to order the envelopes. We just got those in. So our invitations will be going out hopefully by the end of this week.
Can Nigel and I show up and be straight up Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson and just eat some cake and dance to Shout and get real drunk?
We're counting on that, actually.
Nice.
Nice. Well,
wow.
Nice to talk to you,
Listen
Ashley.
Listen to this cameo from John Herrick's fiance.
Right, right.
Wow. He's going to be so mad at me.
I'm looking at him right now. He doesn't even know you're on the air. He's in his cubicle, like, typing out a news story. He has no idea.
He looks so serious, too.
Oh, he does.
He does. Unless he's in there putting on, like, a one-man show, which sometimes distracts our program. We can hear your fiance's laughter coming through, like, windows. That are not supposed to be sound coming through. You know what I'm saying, Ashley?
Yeah, he's got that voice. It just projects.
Thank you so much.
Dinner with him in a restaurant. There is no quietness with him.
Let's go to David. David, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show. What do you want to talk about?
Last night on, I was like, FS1, the Brody. His name was Brody. He was a 20-year-old bowling, and he won the PBA tour last night.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you.
You hear about that guy?
I have, like, learned so much about bowling the last couple of years, watching my son kind of develop into it, and he bowls in college now. Like,
do you know what this guy's talking about?
Yeah, 20-year-old, like, again, 20-year-old, not even old enough to drink, won a major PBA bowling event. And some of these bowlers around Indy, like some of these high school kids, they could compete at a national level. You know, Donnie from Chris's high school team, Donnie Sutton's really good. Riley Spear, the kid from Lutheran, I think he was the state champion. He's unbelievable. Like, some of these young kids, man, they could compete with the old geezers. And what I see more and more are these two-handed styles. Like, they roll it almost like
they don't even put their fingers in the holes in the ball.
Right.
Or at the ball, the bowling ball.
Right, and they just spin it down the lane, and that's kind of the thing now. Bob, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel show. Bob, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I love you, love your show. First time listener, long time caller. I'm so glad for Russian call-ins, because everyone probably wants to know why. Nigel, I love you, but why do you have to ask every time how a play is this anything? I mean, he tells you every day.
some people might be new to the show. They don't know what Is This Anything is. So I just have to remind the audience that, you know, it takes like 10 seconds, sir.
I know. I was just wondering if he could, like, give you a card where you could just read.
That would make for great radio if I just handed him a card.
I love you guys. Have fun.
Right on. Thank you, Bob. Matt, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. Matt, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, I want to talk about baseball.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, and I understand that one of you may be a Cubs fan, and I wanted to talk about my most favorite thing in the world, and that is the St. Louis Cardinals.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. They are looking great this year. You guys need to make it out to a game in Cincinnati or up in Chicago or even drive over to St. Louis.
No, I've been to a few St. Louis Cardinals games. Hit up the breweries, and there's a big bar scene around Busch Stadium there. It's a pretty cool scene, yeah. Man.
Hey, Matt, you said the team's doing great this year. I'm looking at the standings. They're in last place, and they're the only team under 500 in the division.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because they started out on the West Coast against the Padres and the Dodgers. So they got the tough stuff out of the way.
Okay. I just like to point out the Cubs took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, but I'm just saying, I'm just pointing stuff out here. Matt, you know what? I will say this. I've been to a game in St. Louis. It's a great baseball town. It's a great vibe. And the last time I went there, it was a Cubs and Cards game. I was rooting for the Cubs, but there was a streaker. There was a dude that ran out on the field in his tidy whities and then got tackled by security and had the hell beat out of him.
Well, that's how we like to welcome visitors. I was 15 years in St. Louis, and now I'm a resident of Brownsburg, and I want to agree with your other caller. Rob's from Brownsburg, but he needs to take some live calls every once in a while. Man up like you guys.
We will pass that along, Matt. Thank you so much. And that is how we do caller roulette. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. This is
the moment. You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Because we have enough time to mention that the ratings are out for the final round of the Masters golf tournament on CBS.
You and Rob, big golf guys.
Yeah, Rob gets a little more into the nuance. He's like, you know, he knows when guys are having babies and they'd be distracted, like Scottie Scheffler was, you know, his wife was pregnant, and he's like, I'm gonna, you know, I don't know about that, but Scheffler ended up winning. But the ratings averaged 9.5 million viewers, which is a 20% dip compared to last year's final round broadcast, averaged 12 million viewers. I'm not sure I have an answer to that. It was Jon Rahm that won last year.
And it was by the same stroke amounts, four, you know, strokes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it came down to the final hole. I believe, and you can check me if I'm wrong, last year's final Masters Sunday was on Easter. So maybe more families were together near the TV.
I would have thought that would have made it worse.
But it feels like holiday sporting events, whether it's, you know, NBA on Christmas or Thanksgiving football, they get big numbers.
You can bet if Tiger Woods would have been in that final round or in the top five, that those ratings would be much higher, for sure.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.